Worcester Culture Watch, a podcast connecting you with the local culture scene in Worcester. Arts, entertainment, music, and more.
Worcester Culture Watch from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Hello and welcome to Worcester Culture Watch on Telegram.com and now broadcasting at 1:30 p.m. Mondays on Unity Radio 102.9 FM in Worcester. I'm Victor Infante, entertainment editor for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, and we've got a musical show for you coming up. In a bit, I'll be talking to Telegram reporter Richard Duckett about what's going on in the classical scene, but right now, I'm here with reporter Craig Seaman. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Victor. It's good to see you, as always.
Good to see you, too. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Grammy Awards this year. What did you think of this year's ceremony, Craig?
Well, this year's Grammys could have been called the Gammies. It was all about the ladies, all right, and rightfully so. You had Michelle Obama, who was a sight for the country's sore eyes. You had Grammy's darling Alicia Keys, who not only wowed us with her songs I Wish I've Written, and I always sang as good as, not better than the originals, but she also won us over with the zen-like presence as the soothing, calming Earth Mother, loving host. And when the smoke cleared, Kacey Musgrave won the Album of the Year and Best Country Album, someone we both admire.
Indeed.
Childish Gambino's This Is America became the first hip-hop song to win Record and Song of the Year.
Yep.
Cardi B won Best Rap Album. Her won Best R&B Album. And Ariana Grande won Best Pop Vocals for Sweetness. So, but the show was also a brain-numbing 3 hours and 40 minutes.
That's a little long.
Can
I confess something?
Yeah.
I don't like to watch the Grammys live. I watch the highlights the next morning.
Oh, no.
I see what everybody's buzzing about and finding on YouTube.
No, it was tough. I mean, it was probably 2 hours more than it should have been, especially when they only passed on a measly 9 trophies on air and really rudely cut many of the night's winners off in mid-speech, including Dua Lipa, her, Cardi B, and the biggest one, Drake.
Yeah, and considering Drake is one of the biggest artists out today, and he was saying, I listened to some of that, and he was saying things that were very worth hearing. He was making some serious points there.
Give them the mic. If they're up there, give them the mic. Even if they babble a bit, give them the mic. But what were they giving, a half minute each, if that?
Yeah, they really need to fit fewer songs into this thing, I think might be the real issue here.
Well, I mean, when you had Alicia, not to interrupt, and I'm sorry I did, when you had Alicia Keys, she was playing snippets of songs. We don't need, I mean, that Havana thing that they opened up. I mean, it was a spectacle to watch, but that seemed like that went on forever. I mean, do we need them to be that long? No.
No, I don't think we do. And I think there's this balance that everybody needs to try to find between what's important to the artists and giving them the respect that they deserve, and they do deserve the respect.
Oh, absolutely.
All of them.
Absolutely.
Even the ones I don't like their music at all.
Absolutely.
They absolutely deserve their respect. You know, that is not like easy to get any of this done. That being said, there does have to be some consideration for the audience at home. When we get into 4 hours of just mostly stuff we're not there to see, maybe it's time to find some new way to do it.
I mean, it reminds me, at least on cutting the people off in mid-speech.
Well, no, that was terrible.
One time, you probably don't remember this, and it's a different venue anyways, but Fellini was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut him off in mid-speech. They wouldn't let the maestro speak, as Angelica Houston put it. And then he died shortly after that. Not saying that we got a bunch of young whippersnappers winning awards, but I know I would gather if it was you or I who was up there getting awards, we would be kicking and screaming if they shut us off. How much longer are we going to talk? Some people babble.
Yeah, indeed, and they tend to have their own podcasts. The thing about Drake, he was saying some really important things about how hip-hop is sometimes treated at the Grammys.
Right.
And this was a good year for hip-hop, but let's face it, there was only one hip-hop performance, as I recall it. Wasn't fused with rock.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I'm an old rock guy. Yeah. You know, I've got my punk rock roots, but hip-hop is now.
Right.
Hip-hop is where things are now. Of course, you know, I think everybody, I was really excited about the Kacey Musgraves. I think that was a brilliant album. Really beautiful. There's something just likable about her music.
Right.
Childish Gambino, let me go back. I love the video. I think the video is a work of sheer artistic genius. I am not 100% convinced the song holds as sharply without it, but then I can't separate the two in my head because I watched the video first.
Right.
So I kind of go back up and forth, you know. You know, am I remembering the video when I'm listening to the song? If I had never seen the video, would this be as hot?
Right.
I don't know. Right. I honest to goodness don't know. Of course, you know, Childish Gambino won for best video, of course.
Right.
And that category was a bloodbath. We're talking Childish Gambino. We're talking the Carters with that beautiful video shot at the Louvre. We're talking Janelle Monáe. And, of course, our Worcester's own Joyner Lucas with one of the most talked about videos of the year.
Right.
Now, I've gotten into some trouble for this, but the Grammys, I've always felt, are very hostile to outsiders. They let very few people through their walls, and often what they do is they let them in a little bit.
Right.
See what they're made of, and then the next year they come back and they can do better, you know. It's only been the past couple years where they've opened up at all.
Right.
I attribute a lot of that to Chance the Rapper's success in 2017, being the first person to actually win. I believe it was Best Hip Hop Album. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Without actually having physical copies of it.
Right.
In fact, he wasn't actually selling most of it. He was practically giving the album away. In fact, often it was giving it away at various times. That changed the game.
Right.
I think the record industry needs to shake away some of its legacy and start embracing what's new. This is why I'm very happy that Joyner's independent again. I think he really is an artist that needs his freedom.
Right.
I think he shines best when he's just allowed to just create. I think that's amazing. I'm looking forward to that he and these other new era hip hop artists and musicians of all stripes can do with these technology and with these opportunities that we have now.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the end of sermon.
Well, I had some highlights real quick.
Sure.
I mean, besides Super Bowl champions, New England Patriots, Devon McCourty, and Julian Edelman giving Lady Gaga, who gave the last good Super Bowl halftime show, a Grammy Award, I think some of the highlights are Dolly Parton.
Of course.
I mean, 73 years old, God bless her, and she separated the Queens from the Wannabes as she went through a whirlwind celebration of her five-decade career. And you had these great songs. I mean, these songs still hold up. And she sounded great. She looked great. For the immortal hit Jolene, Dolly was joined by her goddaughter, Miley Cyrus, who proved that she's more than up for the task. Miley can sing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes we forget that because of the...
Yeah, because so much of her pop music is auto-tuned to death. But yeah.
And then doing Neil Young's After the Gold Rush, which crescendoed into a thrilling three-part a cappella harmony of Parton, Cyrus, and Maren Morris. And by the time she belted 9 to 5, Dolly proved once again she is not only the queen of country music, she is a queen of the USA.
Indeed.
And Dolly wasn't the only living legend we celebrated. 74-year-old Diana Ross celebrated her birthday a month and a half early, but who cares? Ross, Motown royalty, and original pop diva. Performance was pure over-the-top Diana. And Andre Day, Fantasia, Yolanda Adams delivered a short but sweet tribute to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
And we had Gaga, but real quick.
I'm not all that hot on the Star Is Born soundtrack, actually.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
You got to see the movie.
Okay. Well, yeah, but that's a problem. For a song, if you have to see the movie to get the songs. Yeah, this is back to the This Is America argument.
Well, but I mean, it's like a 8 Mile Eminem.
That's true.
I mean, which was a great song on its own.
It was.
But in the movie, it's like a totally different dimension.
Yeah, I think it's standard pop stuff.
It's not groundbreaking.
Yeah, compared to how many actually groundbreaking albums Gaga has put out. I mean,
Gaga has the voice. Yeah. I mean, that helps that
That's
song.
That's true.
But hands down, I think the Grammy's best moment was the performance of Saint Vincent and Dua Lipa.
Mm.
I mean, looking like each other's evil doppelganger, so much so that it was hard to tell them apart. And they were the spellbinding and mirroring each other's movements with those matching jet black bobs. You couldn't beat it.
Well, I do want to put out one of my favorite performances of the evening, which was Janelle Monáe.
Yes.
And the Prince influence, of course, Prince mentored her on that song.
Right.
And you can feel his influence on that song on the way Make Me Feel.
Oh, absolutely. From the guitar to
I mean, you can feel his influence there. And for a second, it was the best Prince tribute we've seen at an award show since he passed away.
Right. And what I wrote in my notes, the best Prince song that his royal purpleness never wrote. I mean, it was like, even if you weren't aware of the background of the song, it was like...
Yeah, it feels like a Prince song. It really does.
And it didn't feel like a gimmicky ripoff.
Well, that's the thing. Janelle Monáe has that amazing, you know, it's a tightrope, ba-dum-bum-chang, amazing ability to ride the line of really wearing her influences on her sleeve. You feel that with Stevie Wonder a bit in some of her early work.
Yes.
But... She always sounds like her, and she always sounds fresh.
Right. Oh, no, she's...
I don't know any other artist who can do that.
She's the genuine article.
Yeah.
She's certainly... And that's too quick. Kacey Musgraves' performance was beautifully understated and elegant. Brandi Carlile's The Joke was spine-tingling awesome.
Yep.
I'm sure a lot of people never even heard of her before that night. The two scariest things of the night...
Hmm?
Anthony Kiedis of Red Hot Chili Peppers looking like the ghost of Sonny Bono.
Yeah.
And Smokey Robinson looking like Vampire Lestat.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we can't all grow gracefully.
But he still has the voice.
He does. He really does. In fact, he's going to be doing a...
Motown tribute or something.
Yeah, coming up soon. Anyways, I think that about wraps up our discussion of the 2019 Grammy Awards. I'll be on with Richard Duckett in just a few moments, but first we're going to listen to a recent song from Worcester hip-hop artist Death Over Simplicity.
Well, I think set and setting are extremely important, just to review.
Dose is gross. Yo. Peep the pictures that appropriates the statement that I promulgate. Doses gross, a toast to the alphabet I annihilate. Spin a verse quicker than 45s on vinyl plates. Get your eyes wider than a 12-inch when I obfuscate. Obtuse audio I ventilate. Never sold the need me when I stray away from those I would once emulate. I spread eros to shed ego and bring vocal jacks and pollocks to your earlobe. Is that smoothness you can feel up on your skin at a vino? Is this my final form? Nah, right now I'm near the Reno. Heaving heaters out the speakers till the speakers keynote. Dropping weight off on my shoulders like my people doing keto. I wanna leave and live a gargantuan like a venture, bro. V's up on my adventure, bro. Lust for a centerfold. Center all my energy, control the intro flow. Interpolate a turn of phrase and burn a page before I'm indisposed. Life's a trip. Life's a trip. You know that life's a trip. Life's a trip, you adapt to the setting, find an avenue for expression before depression sets in. Think about the pearly gates and which of us don't let in. Until our time comes, put your paws up to heaven. Life's a trip, you adapt, find an avenue for expression. Think about the pearly gates. Till our time comes, put your paws up to heaven. I bring lines with the force of bearers where your ears is. Clear split when I get on the mic from where my fears is. Sauce trying hard not to be crossed like pierced wrists. And keep an eye on those who won't be here when the veneer shifts. Superb, superficial, new furs, the new official. True blurbs, the latest issue occurs. I chew the gristle, get spurned to fire missiles. In the name of peacekeeping, keep seeking for a higher truth. Monetize before we fossilize, the wealthy proselytize. Anti-harmony, but don't for homogenous homicide. Cops looking at me and my people like we're all feral. The only authority I recognize is Marge Farrell. Glado, I'm not trying to be a model. Model relishing the role of Rama while developing a motto. Pilot in the ship, sometimes we're locked in our auto. Switch routes, I'm flying out like Rocket Power's auto. Cause life's a trip. You know that life's a trip.
Life's a trip.
Life's a trip, you adapt. Find an avenue for expression. Think about the pearly gates. Until our time comes, put your paws up to heaven. Life's a trip, you adapt to the set and set and find an avenue for expression before depression sets in. Think about the pearly gates and which of us will let in. Till our time comes, put your paws up to heaven.
I think you really have to know yourself and your dose levels. I mean, I've experimented over the years because I've been at this for who knows how long, so there's been plenty of time to experiment.
You've been listening to Set and Setting by Death Over Simplicity from his new album, Etc., which is available on Bandcamp. DOS will be part of the Jay Dilla tribute at Electric Haze this Sunday, if you're there. That is this Sunday on February, what is that, 12th? No, I've lost complete track of time. 17th, thank you. I don't know when it is anymore. Anyways, we're going to drop hip-hop for a while, and we're going to talk about classical music. I'm here with Richard Duckett. How are you doing, Richard?
Hi, Victor. On a related Grammy note, we might note that the Boston Symphony Orchestra picked up 2 Grammys.
Excellent. Congratulations to them.
For their recordings of 2 Shostakovich symphonies. So
excellent.
But it's not the Boston Symphony Orchestra that's coming to Worcester in the next week or so. It's going to be 2 international orchestras. This is always a part of the Music Worcester season that people look forward to, getting a chance to see a full orchestra from abroad. And the first one may have come and gone already by the time you listen to this, but it's the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra performing February 15th in Mechanics Hall. And then on March 1st, we've got the Czech National Symphony Orchestra coming.
That's always so amazing when we can get acts like that from around the world here. I'm always impressed when we see them.
Yeah. These 2 orchestras are interesting in that they're doing the classical repertoire. Well, I mean, that's what you'd expect, I guess, from a symphony orchestra, but the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra is doing a program that includes Dvorak's Symphony, New World Symphony, Sibelius, Rossini. I think they're out to prove that they can do the classical European repertoire. It's their first North American tour, and they've been preparing for it for quite some time. I did interview Mr. Zhang, who's the director of the orchestra and director of their tour, and according to Mr. Zhang, classical music is big in China, and the orchestra itself adopted a policy of bringing in various well-known maestros from Europe. They call them maestros in China, you know, as a mark of respect, and taking on a very young group of musicians and gradually building them up till they felt confident enough that they could undertake a North American tour. And they're looking forward to coming to Mechanics Hall, according to Mr. Zhang. They consider it to be one of the high spots of their North American tour.
Excellent. Yeah, no, Mechanics Hall has an amazing reputation in the classical music world.
Yes, it's worldwide, definitely.
Excellent. But yeah, so are they going to be playing strictly Western canon songs? Or will they be playing anything?
I think at the if they get a standing ovation and do an encore, which they probably will, you might hear a Chinese composer perhaps being played at the encore. But no, their program, they have different programs that they can offer, and so they're not just playing the program that we're going to hear at Mechanics Hall, but everything they're offering is the European classical repertoire.
So they are out to show that they can do it.
They can do it, yep.
Excellent. Well, I got to admire that.
And then it's interesting, we've got the Czech National Symphony Orchestra coming on March 1st mm-hmm. at Mechanics Hall. But they're not going to be performing Dvořák, who's a Czech composer. Now, that's going to be the province of the Shanghai Opera Symphony Orchestra. Instead, the Czech National Symphony Orchestra is going to do a program devoted to Leonard Bernstein.
So they're bringing the American composer.
They're doing the American.
I'm starting to feel a little bit threatened here.
So it's an interesting irony. But last year was Leonard Bernstein's 100th. Birthday,
yes,
but the celebrations are still evidently continuing. They're bringing with them Isabel Leonard, who's an American mezzo soprano, and the program's going to include Candide, themes and songs, presumably from West Side Story, and then selections from Bernstein's Trouble in Tahiti and Songfest and Mass Meditations.
Well, that sounds like a fun program. That really does. Yeah. So is there anything else exciting coming up in the world that we should be knowing about?
Well, there's we might want to note that, you know, you've got these two international symphony orchestras, but that's not quite as many as there used to be. I think that there are fewer international orchestras touring these days, especially coming to the United States, where conductors have told me over years that they've increasingly run into problems with visas for some musicians. So it's really quite a pity.
I seem to recall something about that fairly recently, actually, in the news.
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem, and it's really a shame. And, of course, it's expensive to tour, bring, 80 musicians to a performance facility. That's not cheap. And so classical concerts, attendance overall is continuing to be a challenge, continuing to go down, I'm afraid to say.
That is a shame.
But something that really does bring them in for Music Worcester, because they're returning again, is the Russian National Ballet.
Oh, and
they're returning on March 22nd. They'll be at the Hanover Theater, and they'll be doing Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake, which they've done here before. But if you want to see it done Russian classical tradition,
that would be the show to see.
You'll really get to see something quite authentic from that performance.
Well, it's funny you hit on something there that I think has plagued not just classical music but a lot of other genres too, and a lot, dance and theater also, where you get people that are connoisseurs of these art forms, where they kind of gristle. It's like, oh, we're doing Swan Lake again. We're playing these same composers again. But if you break outside of that, you don't necessarily get the audiences for it.
Programming is a challenge, definitely.
Yeah. There's a reason why they do Christmas Carol every Christmas.
Right. There are a lot of young American composers, but the opportunities they have for having their work performed are rather limited.
I really, that is difficult. So I guess really the moral of this story is to try to support things while they're here and not just in theory somewhere.
Well, I think there are lessons all around, really. Going to a classical music concert, I remember when I was starting out reviewing here, it could be a rather bit an intimidating experience, looking at some of the older crowd there. And although I'm older myself now, I don't know if I intimidate anybody, but the ticket prices can be intimidating as well. So there are all sorts of challenges.
Well, in another lifetime, when I was much younger, I actually worked in telemarketer mm-hmm. for the Pacific Symphony Orchestra in California. And I always remember they had this wonderful program that was actually very popular of getting young people to concerts, and there's reduced prices, some flashy shows, but it was an immensely popular program. It was
Yeah, there are certainly efforts. Yeah, Music Worcester certainly. They've been bringing in Simone Dinnerstein for the whole year. I'm going to schools and introducing students to the classical music and the piano, and she's also been with Milad Yusufi, who is a young Afghanistan composer and dancer and painter, and he's going to have his own show at the Worcester Pop-Up on March 18th, which is free. So, there are efforts being made.
Excellent. Well, is there anything else that we should be looking at in the horizon?
Well, music Worcester season is far from over. We're only about halfway through it, so there are all sorts of concerts coming up to look forward to.
Excellent. Well, you can find out about all of those concerts in the pages of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette and online on telegram.com, where we actually have a fairly comprehensive amount of classical music coverage, which is good. It's one of the things I've always been proud of. I've been writing about music for 20-something years, and I am scared of writing about classical music. I just don't feel I know enough. But, you know, maybe that's something I need to get over in myself, and maybe I need to get over my own being intimidated by it. Anyways, on that note, you have been listening to Worcester Culture Watch. For more, read our arts and entertainment coverage from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Unity Radio broadcasts on 102.9 FM in Worcester and streams online at unityradioma.org. As always, our music was composed by DJ Manipulator. Thanks, and we'll be back next week.